just before we went on the air, the president issued a, I think, one of his most unhinged tweets of all time, or his truth, as he called it. I'll quote it. "A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, where different, smarter, and less radicalized minds prevail, maybe something revolutionarily wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight, one of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world. 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran."
That tweet is deranged, but that's like a deranged tweet in a list of deranged tweets, if that makes sense. It's desperation incarnate. It's
a realist on a new level.
Yeah. And we should be very clear. Like, what he's talking about is a war crime, but the entire war is a crime, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, this was a war of aggression. This wasn't a situation where it's like this war needed to be fought. Like, the United
States. Starting a war of aggression was one of the major counts at the Nuremberg trials.
Yeah.
So it's no different than the German invasion of Poland. It's gratuitous. It's unnecessary. There was no imminent threat by any definition of that term. We can get into what an imminent threat means for sure. Little housekeeping, please like, follow, and share the show. Jermall just started his own show again this morning. So kind of semi-soft launch. So you'll want to check that out. That's 7 to 9 before deprogram. As usual, we will answer your questions throughout the show. So if you're watching live on YouTube or Rumble in the 9 o'clock hour Eastern time, when we're here Monday through Friday, please put it in and we will get to it the best we can. Anything we don't get to, especially the super chats that get priority, will get kicked into the Q&A shows, which we do Mondays and Wednesdays at 12 noon. Okay. So we've got to talk about this. Let's get Iran out of the way here. Okay, so, well, not literally. So that is a threat of genocide. Even the threat of destroying Iran's bridges and power plants, as Trump threatened on Sunday, is also a war crime. And what I'm seeing on the right, Jermall, is people who are saying, well, if something's dual use, if a bridge could be used by the Iranian military, that makes it a legitimate target. It doesn't, under international law at all, make it a legitimate target. Why are they saying that?
But see, I don't believe international law exists. Like, you know, like the moment that you get into a war, taking down power plants, bridges, energy, those things seem to be, like when the United States went into Iraq, that was the first thing that they hit. So it's like, we can't have it both ways. Like, it's, look, I agree with you. Those things may be against international law. Those things are pretty caustic. I mean, I take more issue with going after universities, going after hospitals, going after ambulances.
Schools.
Going after building materials. Like, these are things that we were also doing that hasn't necessarily bubbled up in the media per se, but it's something that we were definitely doing. We went after one of the universities, I think it was yesterday. And so we just took down one of their major bridges. Look, it's one thing if it is a legit military target, right?
A military base, a missile launching pad.
Yeah, those I get, right? But we are going after this stuff in gratuitous fashion, not because it has military significance, but seemingly just because it's almost as a provocation. Like, if you're blowing up a hospital, what are you blowing up a hospital for? Is it that the thought is that if Iran reciprocates, then you're going to focus on the fact that they blew up a hospital, but ignore the fact that you've blown up hospitals and universities?
Even the Israelis made things up, right? They said, they claimed the hospitals in Gaza were secret Hamas facilities. Bases.
Yeah, that there's a base underground, and they were like, hey, we found one gun.
I mean, that's evidence. Wasn't true, but yeah, at least they had an excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what historians of the Second World War called total war, where, you know, I mean, it's the difference between traditional war, where armies met in a field of battle, usually way outside of a city, settled things, and then the outcome might determine the fate of that city. and total war, where killing civilians was and their infrastructure was kind of the point.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, he's going so far as to effectively say the death of an entire civilization. Now, put aside the fact that he doesn't have the capacity to do that.
True.
Right.
It's obscene, though. It's obscene for a world leader, for the president of the United States, to talk like that.
Yes. It's outrageous. I mean, even the last tweet that he put out, it was outrageous. It was deranged. I mean, the idea that the president is swearing like some kind of, you know, gutter rat is pretty extreme. And yet,
Tucker Carlson got really freaked out about the fact that Trump dropped an F-bomb online on Easter Sunday.
He should. Like, it's, I don't think people need to put that in context. Like, what does it mean? Do you remember, what is the name of the movie where the guy goes into the future, Idiocracy?
Mm-hmm.
It's that. Like, where you get this thing where it seems to be this kind of moral, ethical decline to where, even from the standpoint of the language, is debased.
Yeah.
Whereas this debased language become this kind of normal parlance for the president. I mean, even Joe Biden used to drop, you know, F-bombs, or not F-bombs. He used to say stuff like shit or something like that. But there's something jarring about the president debasing the language in that way, where he doesn't have the ability to articulate or to communicate in a way that doesn't do that. It's just outrageous. All of this is outrageous.
Jamal, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, our thumbnail today, right, says, basically Taco Tuesday 2.0, referring to, you know, Trump always chickens out or craps out, right. Whatever. We know that, like, Trump's shtick is to heighten the hysteria, raise the temperature, try to freak everyone out, and he thinks that he can get a better deal, quote unquote, out of it. It does seem to me like he knows he can't close this deal. I mean, let's be really clear here. The goal, this is all about the Strait of Hormuz, the whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. It's about Strait of Hormuz now.
Right.
Didn't start off that way.
Right. But it's about the Strait of Hormuz now. And the point is that there's no way for the United States to forcibly reopen it. I mean, even if U.S. forces go in heavy with 50,000 troops and they seize Karg Island and the Tunes, and they take a buffer zone around, let's say, 100, 200 miles around it, okay? And they occupy that territory. That doesn't secure the Strait of Hormuz, right? Because what international business and the international economy relies upon is not just the delivery of oil. They need the delivery of oil in a timely manner, in a predictable manner, at relatively predictable costs. Right. That goes away if there's even a decent, credible possibility of one oil tanker every now and then getting hit by the Iranians, just, you know, every few weeks. All the insurance rates will go through the roof. A lot of insurance companies will refuse to cover these ships. The traffic will slow to a trickle. And you will lose access to 30% of the world's oil. And then that's not even getting into the whole Gulf of Aden Houthi angle and access to the Red Sea, which, frankly, even if the Houthis taco out, it doesn't matter because the Iranians have missiles that can hit that too. Right. So I got to say, it's like, to me, this is game Iran. I don't see how there's any world. I mean, you know, Trump can nuke Tehran. This doesn't change the equation. I mean, Iran still can still close the Strait of Hormuz.
In fact, I think it's worse than that. I mean, like, one of the new phases of war that we've entered in from the standpoint of countries. In the old days, like World War II, you would get these armies. Like, when the Nazis invaded Russia, for example, the Soviet Union, they had like 1 million men that were lined up and just invaded. And today, that is impossible. I mean, if you look at the war in Ukraine and the way that Russia and Ukraine have been fighting the wars, they've been using like penny packets, like small groups of men on motorcycles and so forth. Because what they realize is when you're under a fishbowl, if you have a lot of people coming together, those people are going to get hit with drones and missiles. Like, you can't put together 100,000 people in one spot and expect those people to be safe from a drone swarm or missile swarm. And with intelligence today and the ability to look at satellites, you can find those people and say, hey, there's a large number of people there. Let's hit those people. And so I don't even know how you would put a million men close to Iran. Hell,
not
I don't even know.
We don't have them.
Well, and we don't have them. And look at what they did with the boat recently, right? Where that ship was basically attacked and the ship had to effectively flee to like the Indian Ocean. How do you bring a huge armada or something like that to the shores of Iran and have those boats be safe?
It's impossible. Even if we did Operation Overlord 2.0, right?
Yeah.
Even if somehow, let's just say we're like, okay, fuck the Iranians. We're going to spend the next year building up our industrial capacity to World War II levels. We're gonna raise a million men under arms. We're gonna restore, selective service. We're gonna have the draft. We're sending a million dudes over to Iran. You still don't do it because even if let's say you could occupy one quarter of this huge country, the Iranians still have three quarters and they still can launch missiles at the at the Strait of Hormuz. It's not like it's no problem for them. So this is literally an impossibility. You cannot win. You know the United States picked a fight with an adversary that has an ace in the hole. That's it.